All right. Well, let's have a word of prayer and then we will begin. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for life and health and strength, for watching over us and keeping us. Thank you, Lord, for each head that's bowed in your presence. And pray you, Lord, for those that aren't here or that couldn't be here. I think especially on Pat and Steve, Maslam and Georgina, Esther, Will, and John and Stephen, Lord. And Father, we do remember those that were around the Maboy Road, that you'd put your good hand upon them. And if it would be your will, Lord, draw them out. But Lord, most importantly, we want to see folks saved. Those that are our friends, those that are our enemies, Lord, those that have helped us and those that have hindered us. Please, Lord, I pray you put your good hand upon them and help and keep them. With thanks too on Brother Stan this morning and the folks up in Bangor, and pray that you'd just anoint him and inspire him as he speaks this morning too. For Lord, for any of our brethren right the way across the world, where people are just even getting up right now, getting ready for church, or in the middle of preaching a service, Lord, please, I pray, bless the preaching of your word. You know, Lord, we live in dark days when people are just doing, goodness knows, you know, Lord, the first thing that comes into their heads, and there's never been a day like it. I pray you, please, Father, that you would save lives, that you would save souls, and Father, that you would convict continually of sin and judgment to come. Please, Lord, look after the rulers of our country. Please give them wisdom and the good sense to use it, Lord, your wisdom, that countries would be safe, that citizens would be safe, but Lord, most importantly, that your will would be done. We just love you and thank you, Father. Please lead us through the service, through the reading of your word, the singing of your praises, the offering up of our prayer requests and petitions, the tithes and the offerings, the preaching of your word, Lord, and of course the fellowship as well. We're glad to be here. We wish there were more, but Lord, we're just glad to be here. We love you and praise you, and we ask all this, Father, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. I walked somewhere and left my hymn book down with all the songs in it. That doesn't happen.
There's
a spare one, Mark. Is that it? I think that's it here. Although, no, that's
not it. That's somebody else's. That's great. Look and see if you put it under the extension leaves.
There is. Oh, goodness. We'll edit that out later on. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. 253 is going to be our first hymn of the morning. 253, you must be born again. Yeah, goodness gracious.
Born again, I verily sing with the ransom the song of the blessed, the life everlasting. If ye would obtain, ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, ye must be born again. A dear one in heaven, thy heart yearns to see at the beautiful gate, maybe watching for thee. Then listen to the note of this solemn refrain, ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, ye must be born again.
Amen. Have a couple of verses of Bible reading for you. I'd like to share these with you, and then we will sing another hymn. And this is from Luke chapter 7. You can just listen, or you can turn. It's up to yourself. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, with many of his disciples went with him, and much people. And when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a great fear in all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God had visited his people. Amen. Thank you for that. If you ever have a verse of scripture that you come across that you think is really neat, if it speaks to you, it may actually speak to somebody else, please do send it to me and we'll read it. Or if you want to read it out yourself, you can do that too. Amen. 260 is our next hymn. 260. He is able to deliver thee.
God in faith, he can make you whole, our
Brother, would you be okay to come up and do the reading for us? Will you come on ahead of that, please?
Morning, we'll be reading from Ezekiel chapter 3. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech, and of a hard language, but of the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech, and of a hard language, those words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant, harder than flint, have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears. And go get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. And the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the voice of the wheels over against them, and a noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went into bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the land of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Aviv, that dwelt by the river of Shebar, and I sat there, where they sat, and remained there, astonished among them 7 days. It came to pass the end of the 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked ways, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked ways, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man turn from his righteousness, and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, that thou warn the righteous man, and the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned also, thou hast delivered thy soul. And the hand of the Lord was there upon me. He said unto me, Arise, go forth into the plain, and I will there ask thee, and I will there talk with thee. And I arose and went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, at the glory which I saw by the river of Shebar, and I fell on my face. And the Spirit entered unto me, and sat upon my feet, and spake with me, and said unto me, Go shut thyself within thine house. But thou, O son of man, behold, they shall put bands upon thee, and shall bind thee with them, and thou shalt not go out among them. Thou will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of the mouth of thy mouth, and thou shalt be dumb, and shall not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, He that heareth me, he that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house. Amen.
I like those verses there in verse 9. Verse 8 and 9, it talks about people making their faces like a flint and not listening. Their foreheads as adamant. But he also says then about the preacher, in this case Ezekiel, as an adamant harder than a flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed but at their looks. Amen. A lot of times in this old world, as people are going to reject, not you, if you come telling them about Jesus, they're rejecting Jesus, but sometimes it's hard to not feel that they've rejected you a bit as well. But just keep your eyes on the Lord, and set your face as a flint, the Lord says, and you will not be ashamed. Amen. I just want to remind you about our little prayer lists this morning, the yellow ones that match my tie nearly. Amen. It's not so that everybody goes out and buys yellow ties. It's just, I think, the next in the cycle of paper. Would ask that you would please remember to have a look over all of those, even just once in a week, or mark it out and do it a little bit at a time. But please call out the names of all of the people that are there, not just our church names, that's the easy bit because we see each other every week, but also the names of all of the other people. I just want to especially remember this morning a lady by the name of Dorothy Cardwell. If any of you have ever had the wheaten bread or the apple pies or the rhubarb pies that we brought from Portadown from time to time, and I think by the sounds of things I might be getting one of each next weekend to chop up and put in the freezer for such a time. But that was the lady that used to slip me the odd extra bun or a couple of scones or something like that whenever I was up picking them up. She is very ill. I don't think there's a recovery from this illness, and she may be going into eternity. I do believe she is a Christian lady, always a very nice lady, and just remember Dorothy at this time. We do miss Will this morning. Please pray for him and his mom, his brother David and sister Naomi, as they mourn over the loss of John. We miss him too, because he was always sat there. And amen. Amen. Please do pray for them. Don't forget to pray for Norman as well. We miss Sandra too. We miss Esther. She's still with us, but please do pray for her, for Leonard as well. Don't forget, we mentioned already, John and Stephen. Please do pray for Dr. Shang, and I think he's in the middle possibly of a church service at home with a Chinese church over the internet, so please pray for him as well and for his growth too. Are there any other things that we need to make a mention of? Any other people that you can think of that we need to be praying about? I ask that you would pray for Graham, my personal fitness trainer. He's not my personal fitness trainer, but he's in my personal space. I would also ask that you would pray for Carol. And that's the lady down at the last bungalow on the right there before you hit the main road. Please also do remember the Charities Commission. I want to give you a little bit of an update on the Charities Commission as well. I think we have been awarded a Charities Commission number, but it was 6 weeks, I think, since our last announcement about it. I contacted them there day before yesterday, Friday. And they said that the Charity Commission itself is involved with a court case that seems to be taking up a lot of their resources and is holding back all of the registrations in Northern Ireland for the Charity Commission. So please do pray about that. And I think pretty much the vibe that I was getting was that it was going to go ahead, but they were flooded with paperwork with this court case. So please do pray about that. Is there anything else? Okay. Any private prayer requests that anybody would want to make known with an upstretched hand? No private prayer requests. We've got Mark and Monica, Christy, Ling and Will. If there are any others, just let us know. Nope. Okie doke. Any thanks? Any blessings? It's really quiet in here this morning. I'm beginning to think, is my like vest or something sitting out and everybody's trying to look away? Yes, Ling. Okay. All right. Do continue to pray for our world leaders. We are commanded to pray for them, and we are commanded to remember to be nice. Well, not just nice, but don't forget to pray for and to bless the children of Israel, the Jewish people as well. The Lord has still promised his promise, his covenant with the whole world is still in effect, that if you bless the Jews, God will bless you, but if you curse them, God is going to come after you with a big stick. I think as Pat and Steve's wee granddaughters would say, his big foot will come down out of heaven and stand on you. So always be mindful of what God says. I think one other thing, Noel and Joan at the far end of the street, to the best of my knowledge, is still in hospital. Please do pray for his sort of broken arm or broken shoulder or something that he had whenever he fell. He's just not the best. He was up in hospital. His sight's not good. His hearing's not good. And he had no hearing aids with him whenever he was up there. And visiting was very restricted. So he was basically like being locked in a box for 24 hours out of the day. So please do pray for him as well. Also, on a little bit more of a personal note, please do pray for my dad. He has gas heating to get fitted and a new flat roof to be put on his house. The old family homestead. So please do pray for that and his continued recovery. Other than that, I think we're all done. Has anybody anything else that they'd like to make known? Okay, I'll leave that there. Christy, would you be okay to lead us with a wee word of prayer? Thank you, brother. Okay, let's pray.
Diabetic nurse visiting, Lord, and trouble he's having with this foot, Lord. Then let her be careful that you protect them, Lord. For Nana, Lord, for Will this morning as well, for John and for Stephen, Lord, that you call them out. We thank the Lord for how you work with this church. Lord, we pray especially for the Charity Commission for things to speed up the process there, Lord. You provide, Lord, and guide the provision and the purchase of the land as well. Mm. Lord, we ask, Lord, for at this time that you bless the service, bless the preachers, that you've your word this morning, the rest of the hymns, Lord, for the thoughts, Lord, for the message, that you just protect, Lord, those in his mind and keep it focused, Lord, just anything else, any worries, burdens, stresses, Lord, or anything else, Lord, that the devil could use, Lord, please take them away this hour. We ask and pray, Lord, to be with Christine Ritchie at this time as well, the rest of the family, for special touch of comfort, Father, Lord, for Norman, too. Lord, for the families that we were praying for as well, that are grieving and lost loved ones, we pray for them as well. Save lost souls this morning, Lord, be with every church that's gathered in your name, Lord, to bless every Sunday school teacher, Lord, every hymn leader, Lord, every preacher as well. Lord, and just bless every hearer and congregation there. Lord, that you would strengthen your church today. Help us to be a light in this dark world. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you, brother. Right. Take our hymn books again and we'll sing another song. If I can just get it. Hymn number 192. 192. Is Ring the Bells of Heaven. If you want to stand, you can stand.
Ring the bells of heaven, there is joy today for a soul returning from the wild.
Got a bunch more songs. Christ, will we sing another song? Thought it was my sit third. You got one, Christy? Sorry, you looked like you were. Hymn number 54, and then we'll open our Bibles. Hymn number 54.
Fire.
put our hymn books away, and if you have your Bible with you, take it out and turn to Luke chapter 22 this morning. And if you don't have your Bible with you, take one off the back of the seat and turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse number 1. Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse number 1. I'd also remind you of Pearl Hetherington and Alan Leslie. Please do continue to pray for Sally and Sammy and Kate, Billy's old neighbours. I don't know what way you want to take that. If you're an old neighbour, does that mean you're an old person or you're a neighbour of long standing? But you get the idea. And Eddie and Anne, that would be neighbours of Esther's too, and their grandson Mason. Sammy is picking up a little bit. He seems to be a lot more alert and at himself. But the doctors are saying that he's still not very well at all. So please do pray for his salvation. Amen. Luke chapter 22. I've only got a half a dozen of verses to read at this particular juncture in the message. So let's read the first six verses. We're going to be spending some time on the subject of what you need. What you need. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, that is Jesus, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the priests and the captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Amen. That is our first reading this morning. Verses 4 and 5 out of that will be our text. And we will be speaking on the subject of what you need. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for life and health and strength for your word. I pray you this morning, Lord, that you would just walk up and down the church hall, not like the school teachers of old, Lord, but like a loving dad, that you would put your arm around us, Lord, that you would give us understanding, that you would whisper the answers in our ears that we need to hear, that you would provide for us strength and comfort and the wherewithal, Lord, that we need to get from one end of the day to the other. We know we need our daily bread, Lord, and we need our daily time with you and our daily touch from you. Please, Lord, minister to us this morning. Lord, take and use this. And use it to mold us and shape us and turn us into the people that you need for us to be. Please save souls, Lord. And I pray you, Lord, for an opportunity to have a wee part in that, Father. We love you and thank you. And we pray, Lord, for anyone that is opening your word and preaching the full counsel of it, Lord, that you'd bless and keep them and strengthen them. I ask it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, Father, according to your will. Amen. Amen. What you need. This is almost the second half of a message that we had not that very long ago, which was called What You Want. So in answer to that, I was reading through this portion of Luke, I came across this man, Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was going about his business trying to get what he wanted. And I want to spend a little bit of time this morning thinking about what getting what you wanted is not always the best for you. But getting what you need, even if you don't like it, certainly is. I'd like to begin with a very grand statement. The Word of God is ever the remedy for the human condition. The Word of God is the remedy, contains the remedy for the human condition. The human condition being our sin nature, and the remedy being the victory over it. The Word of God does contain examples of people who, through sheer force of will, have straightened themselves up and have overcome sin, for a little while at least, but unfortunately the latter end is not so bright and cheery. The Lord said to his disciples about men through the sheer force of will booting bad habits out of their lives for them only to come back mob-handed much later on. And I would go so far as to say that most, if not all, of the difficulties that people have in this life could be summed up with man trying to do only what only God could do, or trying to substitute for salvation and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It is only that that satisfies, really satisfies. It is only the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, that will allow us to grasp and even use the wisdom of God in our own lives. It is only having the Holy Spirit and being directed or choosing to follow Jesus Christ that will give us purpose. It is only really the Lord that can put his arm around us and comfort us whenever things in this world are not going our way and we are grinding our teeth and maybe even shedding a few tears. It is only the comfort of the Lord Jesus Christ that helps us. It is whenever we keep our eyes on him and listen to him that we find the strength of God, because so many people are not beaten by someone that can bench press small cars, and they're not beaten by someone that can run a mile in under 3 minutes and 50 seconds. They're not beaten by a master strategist that has them outflanked. We are beaten in our hearts and minds whenever we consider what other people are going to think about us. If your battle strategy for this life is dependent on other people, it's going to fail. There is an old saying that if you have committed a crime, and the best way not to be discovered is don't tell anybody about it. Make sure that nobody knows. Because as sure as shooting, as soon as you tell somebody, there are twice as many opportunities for you to be caught, and so on and so forth. When you depend upon man and you don't make the arm of God your strength, you will fail. The Bible talks many times about man being weak and breaking like a reed and even slipping through your hand and injuring you. God will give you the strength to stand up without depending on man and what they think, if you depend upon him. He also gives us peace. Peace that the world cannot give. Knowing that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Knowing that we have a home in heaven prepared for us. Knowing that someday these broken bodies, which seem great when you're Christie's age and Frank's age, but as you get older, you pick up a few wrinkles and you pick up a few dings and scrapes and scratches, knowing that we have a brand spanking new and indestructible body waiting for us. There is something, some measure of peace whenever things start to go wrong, knowing that we have this ahead of us, and of course the assurance of a home in heaven regardless of what goes on. There are, we could go on and on. I mentioned this many times because many times they run through my head whenever we think about, oh, he doesn't like me anymore, and God says, well, I still love you and I'm still here to help you. And then you think, well, you know what, maybe it's not so bad after all. As we open this portion of God's word, we see the tragic tale of a thief. A man called Judas Iscariot that was offered everything. He was offered the apostleship of God Almighty, the company of God, the wisdom of God, the purpose of God, even the very power of God to go out and cast demons out and raise the sick back to full health. He was offered a home in heaven, and just like what we were talking about, a new and a glorified body, and the most noble of aspirations, of jobs. Well done. In other words, serving Jesus Christ while he walked on the earth. And he turned it all down for 30 pieces of silver. He sold Jesus out for nothing whenever it comes right down to it. And I've come across a few that have done the same for much less. You see, and you have to bear in mind that the Gospels were written after Jesus walked on the face of the earth. Some of them might have been written, you know, with notes. Hey, I must write that down. I do that myself. My dad does it. That must be where I get it from. You write the notes down as you go and think, hey, I'm going to remember that, because people are going to want to remember to hear those words that Jesus mentioned again. They're going to want to hear about him raising up the widow woman's son again. The people are going to want to hear this. And a lot of it was written, I am sure, as they went along. But some of it was written in retrospect. Sometimes whenever you look back in your life, you understand why people say the things that they do. And they do the things that they do. And the one that comes immediately to mind with Judas was the time when the woman with the alabaster box of spikenard came to Jesus prior to his crucifixion and broke it over his head and anointed him with oil. And even the alabaster box was valuable. So she was going all out to praise and to glorify Jesus and wept on his feet and dried them with her hair. Well, of all the wonderful things that you could say about someone, good for you for serving Jesus. Good for you for going out all out for God. And look what you accomplished. One guy pipes up and says, surely that could all have been sold for 300 pence and the money given to the poor. In one of the Gospels of Acts, that's all it says. And many people would think that's a good thing. However, and I didn't look up which one of the Gospels it was, the other Gospel says that that was Judas Iscariot saying that. And he said it because he was a thief and he bore the bag. In other words, he looked after Jesus' finances. I want for you to know something. People gave to Jesus. People gave of their lives. People gave. I'm sure it probably irked the scribes and the Pharisees greatly when people started giving their tithes to Jesus so that these 12 men could go around the whole of the promised land for the 3 years of his ministry and eat and maybe even pay for an inn or something of a night or give to somebody to help them out. Judas was a thief. And maybe in retrospect they noted that there was always less money in the bag than actually was brought in. And Judas was just sticking the difference in his pocket. And he wanted that 300 pence. And he wanted to have it rattling around in his pocket and to be able to spend it on what he wanted to spend it. He was a thief. Now, there have been many times in this world that people have tried to take advantage of God. Peter did it to save his own skin. Do you remember that? When he denied the Lord 3 times to save his own skin, even though just hours earlier he had said, I'm with you to the very death. And he even whipped off the ear of one of the servants of the high priests. Of course, Jesus healed it pretty much straight away. But the thing about it is, Peter was really sorry. And he wept. And he came back to Jesus, and Jesus forgave him at the end of John. A beautiful depiction of Christ forgiving Peter. But sadly, that wasn't the case of Judas. We all know how that went. Whenever he saw exactly what it was they were going to do to Jesus, maybe he thought, oh, they'll beat him and let him go. Unfortunately, when you start preaching the gospel, you go much deeper than just a casual insult. It actually cuts people to their very hearts. When you remind people that they're sinners on the road to hell, when you remind the high priests, which Jesus did many times, that these are the men that were supposed to be fighting the cause of Christ in the world, and instead they were selling them down the river for their nice clothes, for their nice seats in the at the feasts, and for the plenty of money that was always coming in through the door. And the thought of what he'd done was too much for him, and instead of facing up to it, he went and hanged himself. Imagine his surprise whenever he stands in front of that man that he caused to go to the cross, and he has to say Jesus Christ is Lord at a time whenever repentance means nothing. Yep, chasing money never goes very, very well for anybody. If you've got your Bibles, we're on to the next of our Bible readings. This one is in 3 John. That's the very second penultimate book in the Bible. It's John, Jude, and Revelation. I want to read just two verses out of this portion of God's Word. We're going to speak for a moment about a fella called Diotrephes. And this is John the Apostle, the beloved Apostle, who wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. And here we have a man that was searching after glory, after power. He loved people telling him he was wonderful. And who doesn't? It's always nice when someone says, "Oh, you're looking well today." I remember my dad saying to me, whenever my mum had taken the stroke and she just really wasn't at herself, but whenever he would take her into the doctor would say to her, "Kathleen, you're looking great." And as my dad said, she didn't need any tablets that day. She felt so much better just because of a kind word, a thoughtful word. And it's always nice for people to say, "Oh, your shirt's looking well," or your dress is looking well." As long as the first one's to a man, the second one's to a woman, you get the idea. It's always nice for people to tell you you look well. But Diotrephes loved, needed to have the glory and the praise of men. And he wouldn't countenance any behavior that took away from that. The people that he was responsible for in the church, he forbade them to have anything to do with anybody else that wasn't him. And we have come across those as well. He didn't like the visiting missionaries. And the Bible says, we're supposed to be hospitable to people, especially those of the household of faith. You never know when you would entertain, the Bible says, an angel unawares. But Diotrephes, he didn't want that happening because he knew the glory and the power that he was perverting the gospel for belonged to God, just like the scribes and the Pharisees, who literally killed God to have God's glory and worship and praise. And here we have Diotrephes doing exactly the same. Don't you be, see these guys that are coming from Jerusalem, don't you be having anything to do with them. Those guys that don't come with their nice clothes and their fancy car and their big bank account, I don't want you having anything to do with them because they're going to turn your heads away from what I have been telling you. And that's what he was telling them. Word of God says that John was going to sort him out. I don't know. I think that might have been later on in the telling of the things that happened in the disciples' lives. Much later, years later, after people were dropping dead for doing so much less, If you remember Ananias and Sapphira. But John was going to sort them out. If he got that far, he was going to straighten them out. What do you think that did to the people? They were obviously listening to a false gospel from Diotrephes, being forbidden to carry out the things, many of the things that the Holy Spirit would have literally told them to do. And I'm sure you could probably find that church in the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, as well as a warning from God to get it sorted out. See, the thing with sin, once it creeps in, we already mentioned about a man kicking sin out just by the sheer force of will and grinding his teeth and training himself to do without a thing until it sneaks up on him. Sin always comes back mob-handed. Sin never just comes by itself. It always requires more sin or is a gateway for other sins. And whenever you let that sort of thinking into a church, it'll kill the church eventually. You end up with something like the Mormon Church or the Jehovah's Witness Church or the Catholic Church or the Protestant churches that say, oh, if you're not in our church, you're not going to heaven. The Bible doesn't say that. It just says if you're not saved, you're not going to heaven. Always beware of power. There is no mention of what Diotrephes' fate was. But I can tell you with my hand and my heart, if he never got himself sorted out, it wasn't a pleasant one. If we take our Bibles and go back to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8, I want to tell you about another man, a man that was greedy for power. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 14. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 14. There was a man called Simon the Sorcerer. And when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he, that's the Holy Ghost, was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart might be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and iniquity. And if we stop there, that would have been the end of Simon the Sorcerer, but this is what he said. I pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. Now, Simon the Sorcerer was a man who pretended to be a great man of God, and he messed people's minds up quite badly. He got saved. He got saved. And he hung around with Philip, if you read back a verse or two. Whenever Philip was out and about seeing people saved and preaching the gospel and one thing and another, he got saved, but he still had a lot to learn. And he wanted the power of God. And it's a thing that people oftentimes they want the apparent happiness that Christians have. They want the apparent peace that Christians have. They want the apparent clarity and of purpose and of mind that Christians have, and they want the power to go against the flow that Christians have, and even to see prayers answered. But they don't want to get down on their hands and knees and pray and get right with God and fill their hearts up with the Word of God and do things the way God wants them to do. They're always and only ever looking for the side effects, if you like, of a walk with God. He thought it would be purchased. He thought it was just a matter of throwing a few coins in the plate and all of a sudden he would get this ability, but didn't realize for these men it was years in the presence of God. And even before that, their hearts and minds were prepared to receive the Messiah. None of God's gifts can be purchased. They are given. Purchased by Christ on the cross of Calvary at the cost of his life. But they are given. He wanted to be like the apostles, the most powerful individuals he had ever met. But he just wasn't there yet. I am glad, however, that he realized and asked the apostles to pray for him. That the things, the curse that was going to come upon them, thinking that just by the exchanging of a few shekels that you could become more holy. It doesn't work like that. You might get an upgraded Sky subscription by putting more money the way of Sky, but you don't get an upgraded Christian life by putting more money in the plate. Your upgraded Christian life is whenever you depend upon God. And that's what he needed to do, and he was on the right track. It's not all bad news. Some of these men were actually making the right decisions. Sadly, some of them weren't. And you can turn with me, or you can just listen as we go on to read about the rich young ruler. We all know that story of a young man that came to God because he knew that something was missing in his life. And Jesus said to him, follow the commandments. And in Mark chapter 10, he said, Master, all these things have I observed from my youth. And I love this next six words. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. And the saddest thing about that whole account was the whole of eternity with Christ in heaven was laid out in front of him. And the last verse that we're going to read records that he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. God doesn't say it's wrong to have money. Does anyone remember what was the wee short guy called? Does anyone remember? He climbed up a tree. Zacchaeus. Remember, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see what he could see. And he went. He was a rich man, and he invited Jesus back to the house, and we know that he got saved because immediately the commandment to restore multiple times monies and possessions that had been stolen came to him, and he said, half my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded any man, I'll pay him back four times. So he still had plenty of money. Jesus never said, oh, that you're only going to be going to heaven when you're poor. He just said, there's a difference in a man's heart or a woman's heart when God is at the front, not money, not things, and not stuff. It doesn't mean you can't have money and be a faithful follower of Christ. But money must be your servant, not your master. Someday you may have to send your servant out to do something and it may not come back again. That happened many times back in days of yore. And someday you might have to lay your hands on your money and spend it and be parted from it. However, if money is your master, your money will literally do away with you. Does anyone remember that little quote from, is it Timothy? The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And we know people will do awful things for money. We do not need tons of money. Enough to pay the bills, clothes on our backs, food in our bellies. The Bible says we are blessed if we have that. And yet God has given us so much more. There's four, five examples of people that listened to this one man. In Isaiah 14 and verse number 13, God gives us an insight into the heart of Lucifer. And he records this for us so that we can know who's working for God and who's working for the devil. And he said, "For thou hast said in thine heart, Satan, Lucifer, son of the morning, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds." And then he finally gets to what he really wants. "I will be like the Most High." We have what's going through the devil's mind. Just like some of these men, they wanted to be the most powerful or the richest or the most popular person that they knew that was within their grasp or their circle of acquaintances. And it's the same with the devil. He wanted to be God. He wanted to make the rules. He wanted to set the rules. And he wanted to get to heaven or his way. And we see the same thing happening so many times and so many people in these days. And folks that don't have God as their Savior, and even in Christians that claim to be saved but don't behave like God as their Savior. I think maybe they missed the memo. This is what God said to man. "Take heed and beware of covetousness. A man's life does not consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. I know if you ever empty my pockets, you're going to find stuff. A pocket knife, a flashlight, set of keys, maybe a few coins. And maybe on the rare day, I may even have a Leatherman hanging on my belt and a pair of glasses and one pocket and a wallet in the other pocket. But having more stuff or money or reputation or influence or power doesn't make you a better person. You are still the same person, just with more money, stuff, reputation, influence and power. And I tell you something else. It is easier to see what souls that love these things are actually like. Because when they get these things, they treat everybody else like dirt. They think that they are above everybody else. And you only have to look at our movie stars, at our politicians, at our sports stars, the way they behave. "Oh, I can drive my car at 120 miles an hour down the motorway and all that's going to happen to me is a £500 fine. I could lose that and never miss it." I have only ever done that once in my life, friends. That was when a time whenever I was selling PCs and I washed a pair of trousers and I noticed what I thought was a pile of tissues in my back pocket, and it was £300 or £400 that I had completely forgotten about from fixing it, from selling the computer. Nice to be nice. It has never happened again. There was one time that I forgot about £100 and I was able to help somebody out with that. It doesn't happen very much, because most times my wife goes through my pockets and makes sure that money doesn't stay lost for any longer than it takes me to change, to get out of my trousers and get into another pair and throw those into the wash. It doesn't make you better. It just shows what you really are. Having power is not what people need. I want the solution, because I had a wee lady say, "Mark, I quite like your services because they're simple," and I don't know if that, I think that was a compliment. They're useful. There you go, they're useful. And I want to give you the solution that God used in the face of all of these temptations. And if you're in Acts, go back a couple of books to Luke, if you would, and go to Luke chapter 4 with me. These ones are worth reading or turning to, because these are the words of Jesus Christ whenever the devil came to give Jesus a hard time. If you were to go to Luke chapter 4 and verse number 2, I'm going to read this out and then we'll have a quick chat on it and then we'll be done. And verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And being 40 days tempted by the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus said, referring to the scriptures, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. One of the other gospels says, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou wilt therefore worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered him and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. First of all, and people don't realize, and it is very much downplayed in these days, that it is the scriptures that we need. It is the word of God that we need. We need our souls tended to. Because I'm looking around here today, and yes, there are only 7 of us, and not one of us is underfed or malnourished. We are all well fed physically. And if we went out into the town, we would see at least 150,000 souls. If we knocked on the doors of everybody in Derry, I would say most, 99.99% of them are well fed physically. But if you were to ask them where they're going for their eternities, they would say, I hope I have done enough. I hope my folks will say prayers for me and get me into heaven. I hope that my sins will be burned off, etc., 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 etc. But so very, very few of them are referring to the scriptures and trusting in God. And do you know what? Just in the same way as we need carbs, proteins, vitamins, veg, fruit, you name it, for our bodies, we need it for our souls. And this will only be supplied starting with salvation and pleasing God by doing what he says. There's only one God, and we need to be mindful of how our decisions are made about our money and glory, a position, influence, the things that we want to do with our lives. We need to obey God. Now, the sad thing about that today is, and I'm sure you've noticed, obeying God is made to seem evil. How dare you speak about the LGBT movement like it's a bad thing? It is a bad thing. It's bad for your mind, it's bad for your body, it's bad for very, very bad habits, substance abuse, chemical abuse, physical abuse. It's just bad on every front. There is not one positive thing that has ever come out of the LGBT movement. Well, how dare you speak about it, you born-again Christian? It's the law of the land. And that is where the scriptures and the law of the land part company. How dare you speak out against abortion? The government says it's okay, but God says it's still bad. We live in those days, friends. God has a way of doing things that is right. Jesus said so in John 14. He said, I am the single definite article way. I am the single definite article truth. And I am the life single definite article. It is his way or the highway. And people think, I don't like being told that. He's not telling us to grind our rubber noses in it. He's telling us because we actually need it. We need to be saved, and we need to be familiar with our Bibles.
If you don't believe that God's way is the only way that is fair and equitable to all people, check Black Lives Matter. Oh, how can you say that in church? It's quite easy. First of all, I'm standing behind the pulpit. But look at Black Lives Matter. It's not just black lives that matter. It's only black, transgender, lesbian, homosexual, homeless, or everything that's bad lives that matter, criminal lives that matter. The sad thing about it, and the thing you'll never hear in the church, in the news, is that there have more black people been killed by Black Lives Matter than were ever killed by the policemen that are accused of jump-starting this BLM into existence again. Even in our own countries, we see that departing from God's way of working does not give everybody a fair shake. You check some of the Muslim countries to see how women and children get a fair shake. Women are second-class citizens. Children and young people are treated as disposable bomb carriers in many instances. They are not treated properly. The education system is limited to men. You can divorce a wife that gives you lip just by saying you divorce her three times. And she is done. Destitute. She doesn't get her kids. She doesn't get an allowance. No divorce court in the land is going to give her a single thing. She is done. How is that fair? You look even at the many communist countries out there and see how they treat people. Jesus said we need the scriptures. The scriptures read, shared with a person that hates them, the Bible says, are like hot coals poured upon their heads. It convicts them to their very hearts and minds. Whether they believe them or not, there is that sort of power in the Word of God. It even calls the scriptures a two-edged sword that cuts to the very marrow, the deepest, most protected part of the body. The heart, that people have forged fortresses and walls around, the scriptures can get right through that. And we need that. And we need to align ourselves with that. And then we will start to see the power, the comfort, the strength, and the peace of God in our own lives. The next one that Jesus said whenever the devil tempted him with all of the things of this world, he said, you're not supposed to tempt the Lord your God. And I thought, you know what? That seems very trite. But let's put it this way. God says, this is the way that you and I need to be. He says, we need, whenever God tells us to do something, we need to do it. And then we need to enjoy the blessing that comes from it. Even if it's only our personal victory over shyness or ignorance or whatever, we'd be blessed. Now, it might not be hordes of angels coming down and singing, hallelujah, hallelujah, like they did in Luke chapter 2 when Jesus was born. But I can guarantee you, when you strike out and do something for God that nobody ever thought of, or that people wouldn't even think, oh, I couldn't do that. Do you know what it is like to overcome fear in your life and to spread the word of God to souls that really need to hear it? It is powerful. Most people want to say, God, I've got a list of things, God, that I would like you to do and to bless me with as I go about my business. That's called tempting the Lord. God, I told you that I was going to be going into to be going and starting this business. Why haven't you blessed it? That's called tempting the Lord. Lord, I'm a Christian and I said my prayers and I put money in the plate. A lot of people be standing, God, why isn't it that you didn't, like Superman, stand in front of that lorry that I walked out in front of? You don't tempt the Lord your God. You say, God, where would you have me? What would you have me do? Because let's be honest, friends. There is a reason why God calls us his children. Because we act like it. Because we think like it. And even the smartest man on the face of this earth is like a smart grasshopper compared to us. Sometimes whenever I'm out feeding the chickens, it's amazing the things that come to you when you're feeding the chickens. I walk into the chicken coop and all I have to do is lift up a plastic loop and push this thing out of the way and walk in. And you know what? The chickens can never figure it out. And it's the simplest of things for me. I walk up to their house and I lift open the lid and pour in a bucket of food. And the chickens can't do it. And it's the simplest of things for me. I change their water and the chickens can't do that either. And it's the simplest of things for me. I walk up to my front door like that. And I can grab my front door key. There it is. And I put it in and open the door. And the cats can't do it. And get it all of their cat food. And it is the simplest of things to me. Friends, multiply that wisdom, that strategy, the technologies that go behind that by an untold factor, and that is God to us. It is simple for God. It is eminently possible for God. But it's impossible for us. He knows what's going to come our way, and he knows what way we need to meet it. And the best way, the best result will be had when we're with God and for God. What does it say in Romans 8:31? If God be for me, who can be against me? God is not for anybody going about their own will. God is for people that are walking the same way that he is. So don't tempt the Lord your God and expect to come out of it unscathed. The last one. Or was that the last one? No. About worshipping and power and glory. We already spoke a little bit about it in the men that just spent their whole lives trying to gather the stuff to themselves. It doesn't make us better people having stuff. We already said that. If we have Jesus Christ, we will get everything that we need. God has promised his children many times in his word. Jesus promised us when he walked here, he said, look at the birds, look at the flowers. He says these things are only temporary and not even one little bird falls to the ground without God knowing about it. You are more precious to God than many sparrows, he said. He said that God will never see his people naked or begging for bread. These are promises in the Bible that you will get everything you need. And if God figures out that you can be used in a position of authority and power and you will treat it right and do the right thing, he will make sure you get there. But you need to listen to him. And you will get it in due time. Do you know the number of people that have chased money and glory and power and got themselves in trouble? I remember Ian Paisley all those years ago whenever he became the first minister. I will never surrender. Do you remember Paisley used to say, never surrender? That was his byword. He was against everything that the Republican movement stood for. He was against everything that the European Union stood for. And it was always never surrender. Until someone pulled out the big chair and says, Ian, if you sit down with all of those people that you said never surrender to, you can be the biggest cheese in Northern Ireland. He did. And he caused so much trouble with the people that had followed his teachings for so very, very long. And he didn't even believe them himself. Friends, we don't need power. We don't need glory. We don't need the riches that the world offers. We need Christ. It is Christ that completes a man or a woman. It is Christ that completes a boy or a girl. It is the Saviour that is the full and sufficient payment for sins that will make up that huge hole that so many have in their lives. After all,
The last thing that we're going to quote the Lord on, he said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Does anyone remember a fella called Steve Jobs? Does anyone remember him? You're an Apple user, Frank. You must know Steve of Steve Jobs. You are too, Christy. I think he probably was one of the richest men in the world. But he's never saved. And do you know where he is today? If he didn't, in the quietness of his own heart, ever get saved, Steve Jobs, for all his innovation, Steve Jobs for all of his money, Steve Jobs for the power that he had to literally shake countries with the wealth and the influence that the company had, is in hell right now, screaming his lungs out, what a fool I was. It all means nothing apart from Christ. We need Christ. We need him as our Savior. We need him as our Lord. We need him as our friend. We need him as our advisor. And we need him as our purpose. And I just want you to know, just because you're making Jesus Christ your purpose does not mean you're going to end up in the pulpit. I'm going to finish with a funny story and then we're done. Many years ago there was a young man who couldn't decide what he was going to do, and his mum and dad decided to send him to the seminary because one of their friends ran it. It was a place where they trained ministers, and you're talking maybe 100 or more years ago. And he was there for weeks, and the weeks turned into months. And eventually, they were starting to say, I wish that young fellow would make up his mind what he was going to do. He's not doing anything. Eventually, he disappeared. And he left a note and said, God has put it upon my heart to go and earn $1 million, £1 million. And they thought, oh goodness, looks like that young fellow's on the road to success. As it turned out, he went out and became a very, very successful businessman. And he ended up ploughing huge percentages of his riches, of his wealth, back into the service of the King of Kings. So, anyway, thank you for your good time. God bless you. I know that was a bit of a long one today, but it is, after all, about the most important thing in the world. God bless you. Right, our closing hymn, and then we'll let you go home, is 372 this morning. This afternoon, sorry. It was this morning when we started. It's the afternoon. 372, let the lower lights be burning.
Beams our Father's mercy from his life.
Thank you all again. God bless you. Christy, would you pray for us and dismiss the meeting, please?
Lord, we are thankful for this day, for this service, Lord, for this time that you do. Lord, provide a message from your word for us. Lord, help us, guide us in your will, Lord, be with our absent brethren. Those that are sick and downcast, we pray for them. Especially for Sammy's salvation today, Lord, give softness, heart, and stiffness, neck, please. Lord, remember the woman at the bakery, Dorothy, Lord, and pray for her as well, Lord. Watch over her, give her portion of grace. Lord, go with us to their homes. Draw us out to the evening service as well. And bless that parish for in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Folks, we are dismissed. God bless you. Tap elbows, tap toes, shake hands, whatever it is, we're dismissed.